Good morning, Dr. Clendang. How are you?
I am well. How is the Michael Aversi today?
I am very good, dude. I'm very good. I want to jump right in with a quote from Marcus Aurelius. You have the power over your mind, not outside events. And I really want to just kind of hone in on the idea that emotional control is the new competitive advantage. And with the idea that external events, internal control, right? Internal, not being triggered, not being stimulated, not being crazy, not being swayed, being impacted, but having that control is a competitive advantage, right? The lack of knee-jerk reaction. You've been there, man. You've been out in the wilderness. You've done things. Things haven't gone your way. You've been 700 miles from somewhere and your vehicle breaks down. You've been there. You've been there. It's that moment, that stillness, when the insurmountable, not insurmountable, but the insurmountable becomes a reality. And all of a sudden, you're like, I can't control that my car broke down. I can't control that my bowstring snapped. I mean, what are you going to do? Spear chuck it at the whatever you're hunting? You know, there's Jacob there. I'll get this thing done. I'll put two arrows together and I'll throw it like a spear. You know, no, I mean, you got to figure it out, right? And today of all days, today, this day and age, of all days, it's crazy how people are not in emotional control. They are so triggered by outside events. So what do you think, man, about you becoming like a spear chucker with arrows?
I was laughing at the visual of that of
Awesome.
how and there's yeah how you react to a situation is absolutely a so that so there was a there's a book I think it's called Fierce Conversations, and I can't remember who wrote that one. I'll have to look that one up, but he's basically he's an ex-FBI guy, and he talks a lot about the how good you are under stress is directly related to how good you are in practice. And they talk about you're only 25% as good under pressure or under fire as you were in practice. And we just went through an interesting situation. I had a one of my corporate clients had a tornado roll through their like literally, and they're a palliative and hospice care facility. So they're critical care unit stuff. And they had a tornado go through, and they had 50% of the staff could physically not get to the facility. Couldn't get there. Like their cars were destroyed, trees were down, power lines were down. We're talking like disaster getting there. And they handled it as well as they could. So, and there was a lot of emotional charge in this. And what we found out at the after reviewing it all and having the conversations about what went on is how they have not practiced it. And I want you to think back to like elementary school. How many fire drills? I used to love fire drills. It was my favorite part of the day is they'd pull the thing, you'd leave class, you'd go outside and stand in the parking lot or stand in the playground, do whatever. How many fire drills did we practice? Like, and the point of that is when you're under duress, when you're under stress, that your system doesn't react, it just knows how to respond. Like you do these particular events. So like you can prepare, when I'm thinking of so many incidents that could have gone absolutely wrong. And I can think of plenty of incidents that went absolutely wrong because of the way that I reacted in that particular situation. And the other part of that is there's so many that went fine. Like we got through them just fine. Did I love it? Was I in a great mood when something went sideways? No, I wasn't. Not gonna lie. It wasn't Willy Wonka at the, yippee, everything's good. And, or what is it, the Lego movie, everything is awesome. I wasn't feeling that at the time. However, it was more of a response than reaction because we have trained ourselves to stop. Mike's really good at this. He does the pause, right? Pause, back yourself up. All right, what's really going on? What can I control? And you've got to practice that. You have to practice that. You have to practice it all the time so that when you are under duress, it just becomes a, it becomes a response, right? You're not reacting, going, oh my God, what do I do? Oh my God, what do I do? You know, you're not working in emergency. I wouldn't say tactical at that point, but a little bit, right? You're a little bit more poised.
You're home at that point. Yeah. And you're smart enough to realize, you ever do this? You ever start making one bad decision and then you make a course of other decisions that are just completely catastrophic and you don't know what the hell you're doing. And you're like, shoot, I'm making a bunch of bad decisions right now. And there's this panic that sets in. Probably after like 19 times of doing that in my life, maybe 1900 times, I'm finally to the point where, you know, that's where the pause came from. It's like, whoa, time out. You know, like I need to just give a second here to make a decision, to go with it and feel confident in the decision I'm making. And then I need to calm this down a minute here. And I need to figure out exactly what's going on. Like, I'll give you an example. I was driving to South Carolina with my oldest son, and the night before I had an oil change, and on purpose, I was like, okay, it's time for me to get an oil change. Well, the guy left a crucial piece of the oil filter out. And as I was driving down, I'm a high mileage driver. As I was driving, and we get about half an hour outside of South Carolina, the oil filter starts to collapse on itself and my engine goes. So I'm stuck in South Carolina trying to fulfill the dream of my son to go play. And I was freaking out. I'm like, all right, do I drive? I was trying to get a truck. I knew the engine was kind of gone anyway. So I said, all right, I'm just going to drive it out. I left it at a dealership and it was a $10,000 situation. It turned out it extended the life of my car. I got a brand new engine with about 1,000 miles on it. You know, I had the car towed back up to New Jersey, but it was a whole rigmarole. But at the same time, it was a series of decisions. I had to take it to a dealership, see if it could get warrantied. I had to make sure I'm secure, my son is secure. We still had 30 minutes. We still had to secure a rental car for the week. We still had to secure transportation back to New Jersey, which you're trying to get a one-way rental car. It was like $375 just to get home, just to get home. I mean, I looked at flights. I mean, it was a stressful moment in my life, but we had a blast. I was in control the entire time. I had the resources to cover it. Did I want to sink $10,000 into my car? Not at all. Over a preventative thing that I thought I was doing right? Could I even sue the guy that did the oil change? No. There's no proof that he screwed up, but there's proof. But it was a he said, she said situation. But I know better than to get super panicked, freak out. And I made we had a great week. He tells me all the time what an epic week he had. Meanwhile, you have no real idea how stressful the whole week was for me.
Yeah, and there's, you know, that's a slightly different dynamic in the regard of they didn't know, right? You didn't overreact. You didn't react. You were responding to it. You were being purposeful in the direction you were going. Therefore, you didn't pass the stress on unduly to the other person there, you know, to your son at that moment. And you could have, right? You could have flipped your biscuit. Absolutely. You know, been kicking the car, flipping out on the side of the road. Well, what are we demonstrating? What are we showing, you know, at that point, that what are we role modeling? What are we mentoring in that space? And there's something I tell people all the time. I don't remember who told me this. I got to think back and think about who it was, honestly, because I haven't thought about this in a little while. Everything you do is an interview. I heard somebody tell me this. Everything you do is an interview. So basically what I'm saying about that is somebody's always watching you, always watching you in some capacity. However you're responding, you're reacting, whatever you're doing, happy, sad, mad, glad, doesn't matter. Somebody's always watching and paying attention to what you're doing. And they're looking at your example. So I look at that as everything you do is an interview, period. So if, you know, for, you know, we're on a podcast, how many tens of thousands of people are listening to us all the time? So you bet I could be dropping F-bombs and throwing fits about, I mean, we had a car breakdown this last weekend. Mike knows about it. He called me. Literally, we're sitting on the side of the road waiting on a tow truck to come by. Turned out it's cold. right? It's cold. So we had a battery failure. The battery had gotten too cold in the car. It's like 3 years old. It froze. It just wouldn't run the car anymore. But that ended up being, I think, almost $600 between towing and putting a new battery in. And we could have been in, you know, it was a warmer day out. So you could sit in the car. It was kind of like a little greenhouse. We were warm enough sitting there for a while. We waited. We didn't have groceries that were going to perish. We didn't have the dog. The tow truck driver happened to live out by us. So he was able to bring us out here. It wasn't cheaper, but he was able to bring us back and he went home for the day. Car went right in the garage. You know, it was a no harm, no foul. It was on a Saturday. We didn't have anywhere to be that we were scheduled. There's no reason to react. There was no, you know, was I thrilled about it? No. I hate broken vehicles. It's one of my least favorite things in the world.
I'm getting started.
Well, it's an inconvenience. When it comes right down to it, that's all it is. It is an inconvenience to your time. It's an inconvenience to your bank account, to whatever your predisposed schedule that you were going to do. Chances are, if the car just breaks down, it's not life-threatening. I mean, there's situations that has probably happened. And there's all kinds of movies about somebody broke down in the mountains during the winter and a big storm hit and they lost their feet because of frostbite, right? That's an over-dramatization of what's happening. For the most part, if you blow a tire out on the way to work and State Patrol has to come change it or somebody has to come change your tire, which, by the way, this particular car, now that I've gone through this and found this, this car doesn't have a spare tire. I didn't know that until I had to tear the whole back end apart looking for the battery. And who doesn't put a spare tire in a car anymore? I'm shocked by that. But regardless, and I know that now. So how do I prepare for that? You know, I just have to know that's going to be a thing. And is it going to be a problem? Yeah, maybe I'm driving somewhere. Maybe it's an inconvenience. But I don't, you know, for anybody that's broken down and going to work, what are you going to do? They're not going to fire you because your car broke down on the way to work. You call and go, hey, it's broken. I'm doing what I can do to get there. Any organization you work for, as long as you're communicating with what it is. Now, if your car breaks down every other day, your employer is going to start to question that one. But again, that goes back to a decision. You're deciding to keep that vehicle. You're deciding not to carpool. You're making decisions based on what that is. You're keeping yourself in a stressful situation. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, what if I can't afford to buy a new car? I didn't say new car. There's likely public transportation near you. There's likely carpools near you. There's likely another way.
So let's back up for a second and take a look at that. Let's open that conversation up because I've kind of been there and chances are, you know, you can maybe afford a new car, but you have to put it
probably can.
Well, not a new one, new to you. You have to put it front and center and realize, wow, I can't keep limping along. Look, I can't tell you how many people I have seen. And a buddy of mine, I haze this guy for this all the time. I remember he had a newer car and the guy was always a little bit struggling for money. And he had a newer car that got hit and it was a darker colored car and it had a white sort of abrasion mark on the front right bumper and fender. And it was scraped and a little bit damaged and a little bit kind of flappy on the side there in front of the front wheel well. And he just left it and he got the insurance money and he's like, oh, I need the money. And I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, you got a new car here. You have impressionable young kids. You're riding around and you're setting your standards that you want to ride around and be seen with your car looking the way it does when it's a kind of a newer car. It looks terrible. You're wearing a badge of whatever on you. At least get a magic eraser and, you know, take off some of that other paint that's scraped on and do all you can to at least raise your standards a little bit. The fact that you had to take $600 in insurance money and put it towards something else means you don't have your priorities in line with what happens if you have a catastrophic event. If you're living sort of thing to thing to thing, you don't have a catastrophic event, you don't plan. And cosmetic damage to a car is not a catastrophic event plan. But at the same time, being able to react to external circumstances, I myself had the $10,000. I put the 10 grand on a credit card to get the points, but that credit card got paid. And even if I didn't, I would still have a reserve credit card with $10,000 sitting on it. Otherwise, what the heck am I going to do? What would you do as a mid-40-year-old person in stock, out of town, if something ever happened? If you're not planning for some sort of situation to where you say, okay, I'm taking a step back here, and if I'm living paycheck to paycheck, and I'm living from drunk moment to drunk moment, or I'm living from health scare to health scare, what am I doing in the interim to snap this cycle, prepare, and be in some sort of control? Because you have to create your own options, in my opinion. Wouldn't you say, Jake? You have to create your own options before they even happen, as best you can. Wouldn't you agree?
It is. It's an if this, then that, you know, scenario. Now, there's plenty of people that listen to us that are doing the paycheck to paycheck thing, that are doing the grocery run to grocery run thing. We've been there. Like, we've all done it. And it cycles through your life. There's times to where it's not as big of a scare. You know, you feel more comfortable in driving further because you've got a few more dollars in your bank account. And that totally happens. Now, as far as the, you got, and I agree with Mike on this, is you got to plan for catastrophic events, you know, and whatever they're going to be. Now, let's go back to the, you know, what would I have done if somebody wrecked into my rig and I had to spend the money on something else, whatever it may be, right? If I had to take that insurance money, I had to spend it on something else. No, I would not continue to drive around with that vehicle being banged up. I would guess what we have. We have this wonderful tool called YouTube that you can find out how to do damn near anything. If you can't afford to have the body work done on your car, watch YouTube on how to do the body work on your car. Most of the time, you know, to Mike's point, it's a magic eraser. Sometimes it is that. If the vehicle is still drivable, but you just have a bunch of marks on it, they make a great tool called Krylon. If you have to, I mean, that quarter panel is probably toast anyway, mask off everything else and just paint, you know, match the color of the car. So at a distance, it just doesn't look like I'm driving a wrecked rig. Have some pride in what you do. And sometimes if we can't afford to have it done, we have to do it ourselves. I mean, what's the old quote? Necessity is the father of ingenuity or something like that. I'm trying to remember what that one is.
Sure. That's the quote now. That's the quote.
It's a quote today. Yeah. I mean, it's probably totally wrong, but that's the reality of it. I'm looking back at how many dents I have beat out of vehicles. And that literally is a rubber mallet and a piece of wood that you can do that. That's old school body work. Now, a lot of the new vehicles are fiberglass. You can't do that, but there's body filler. There's spray paint. There is, my daughter had a wreck. Wasn't her fault. Non-accident. She's fine. Not a problem, but it completely screwed up the front bumper, tore the inside wheel well out and just did a bunch of weird stuff. The vehicle was sort of still kind of drivable at that point, but it was going to be a long time before she could get it in. She couldn't be without a vehicle, couldn't afford to buy another vehicle. Honest to God, we gorilla taped the whole front of the car up. You know, we popped the bumper, it was a plastic bumper. We were able to pop it back out so it sort of shaped and got a couple screws in a couple spots, knowing that the parts were totally jacked up anyway. Sealed up the electrical taped up the headlight where the wire was exposed. And then we gorilla taped the entire front of her car's black. So gorilla tape worked to be able to hold it together so it wouldn't go down the road flapping. Right. And she drove it like that for like 2 months while she was waiting for insurance to come back around. Nobody knew the difference because at a distance, black on black, it didn't matter that it was actually duct taped together. But
out of this,
yeah, we have to, but it wasn't going to matter. Yeah, she wasn't going to, I didn't have the money to buy her a new car. We couldn't get it in to get it fixed within 2 months. We had to do something to make it safe for one. And it, again, nobody could really tell because we kind of color matched it. So it's, what are you willing to do? I mean, I'm looking at how many vehicle repairs I have had to do in my life because it was not a matter of I had the money to have somebody else fix it. So if that's what I would tell, that's what I'm going to say. And I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm sure we're going to get calls and I'm sure we're going to say it on, you know, on social media. But if you don't have the money to pay somebody to do it, you need to learn how to do it yourself. That is what I will totally say about
you enough to get it to the next point. Now, I will say the other side of this, because I'm always trying to be transparent with our audience. I fell into a complacency trap because I was comfortable. And I reached a point where in my career that I didn't want to go beyond doing what I was doing. I just was living and I was living and I was making I was making money and I was profitable and my expenses were at a certain fixed, you know, line at that point. And I was just comfortable, dude. I was living my life. It was awesome. But I realized I had a sense of complacency. The second I wanted to push beyond a certain barrier, you know, my threshold of spending, if it got over a certain amount that month, I started saying, oh, shit, you know, I better, it messed with my matrix. And that can have a downside as well, right? That comfort level can have a downside as well. And you don't even realize if you fall into that trap. And it is kind of a trap. It's not a bad thing. It can be a trap. And there's also something to be said for being comfortable. And it's almost like an older person living on a fixed income that, like my mom, for example, you know, my mom was in her 80s, right? And she lives on a fixed income pretty much from, you know, retirements and annuities and all that good stuff. My mom's totally comfortable. She drives the same car she's been driving. House is fine. You know, is she doing any major spending? Not really, but is she hurting for cash? No. Is she stressed one iota? No, not at all. It's amazing to see. It's amazing to see. Now, if my mom wanted to extend beyond the pattern she's in, they're a different story, maybe. But does she want to extend past that pattern? No, I did. And I'm significantly younger than my mom, thank God. And both biologically and in all reality. And by saying, okay, I'm going to raise my standards, there's where the real challenge becomes. Because I set myself for a new set of standards. I wanted my monthly spending to go up. I wanted my ability, whether I wanted to buy more every month. This is what people don't realize too, Jake. Like when you see these movie stars and you see people and they're being humble, they're still doing baller type stuff. They're still... their level of what's what is totally different than our level of what's what. And because they've amassed so much success, they're within thresholds. Not all of them, but a lot of the more responsible people.
That's the key.
You don't see it, but they do baller activities. I got a friend of mine that inherited like his dad's real estate business. Dude does baller activities, man. Guy's moving all over the place. He's still hustling. He's working hard. But his level of monthly activity is totally different than somebody else's. And there's that weird threshold piece where I don't think people match. They want, but they don't do to get. And that's where that I can't control the circumstances. All I can kind of control is what's happening in between the old ears. That's where that comes in as well. So that's the positive side of this piece. If you want to take control, and I know we're running out of time, but if you want to take control of your circumstances, that's where that mindset shift comes in. And that's where that discipline comes in. Any parting sort of words here, Jake? We got about 2 minutes or so, a minute and a half here.
I guess with that, it's, you know, Mike's talking a lot about standards and you've got to decide what's important to you, right? And it's not a comparing my insides to somebody else's outsides. We talked about that earlier. It is you know, it's absolutely what are my standards? It's what am I practicing for? It's what's my emergency plan? I mean, I'm going to circle back to that. It's absolutely true of nobody wants to think about that, but everybody needs to think about that. Like what happens if I'm driving across the country and I break down? What happens if, you know, how am I going to deal with this? If you put a plan into place ahead of time, you're going to respond versus react.
Respond versus react. I think that is really good wisdom for everyone to take and, you know, get your plan together, plan for the worst, plan for the best, plan for everything. Keep yourself organized, disrupt your own train of thought sometimes, and keep yourself organized. All right, Jake, I think that's all for today. We'd like to, on behalf of my counterpart, Dr. Jake Clendenning, I'm Michael Liberace. You were just live on Total Disruption. We'll see you next time.